Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, put your hands together one time. Let me see you move. Come on.
It's the season for the favor of the Lord.
Say it.
It's the season for the favor of the Lord.
It's the season for the favor of the Lord. My soul is thirsting for an outpour. I am standing on the promises of God. Everything He has for me, I receive it.
Been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety. And did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence. Because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified, that you might be glorified. That your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God. Life. Eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come in to war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. The best today is yet to come. It's not over, it's not over. God yet have the last word over our lives, over our situations. Yeah, no matter what we're going through, he's got the last word. And if we but trust him with our whole heart, lean not to our own understanding in all our ways. If we acknowledge him, he's going to direct our path. If we just be not wise in our own eyes, fear him and depart from evil. God will do it. God will do it for us. If we obey these verses right here this morning, trust him, trust him. Yeah, he's going to show you the way to go. or he'll let you know, stand still and know that I am God. Yeah, just stand still. You don't have to do anything. Yeah, I got it. I'm doing it all for you. But the closer we draw to him, the better off we are. Yeah, but we got to draw close to him. Yeah, now it's that time. And we draw close through prayer and reading and studying his word so we'll know for ourselves. Yeah, nobody can come in and trick me. I truly got my instructions from Almighty God. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to make a difference in your life. Not long you'll have to tell people, oh, I'm saved now. You won't have to keep saying that. Uh-uh. They will see the results. They will see your attitude. They will see the things that you do. What you used to do, you're not doing that no more. You don't have time for nonsense and foolishness. No, ma'am. No, sir. But what you're doing now is showing the world that I'm on God's side because he's been on mine. When I wasn't on his side, he was yet on my side. And I'm so thankful unto him this morning. Hallelujah. Greater is he today that lives within us than he that is in the world. Yeah, we got to believe this today. Hallelujah. And today our topic is standing on the sure foundation. Standing on the sure foundation. Yeah. If a house is not built on a solid foundation, when the wind comes and the rain comes, the storms, if you're in Florida, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, when they come, that house is going to fall. When there's an earthquake in California, Alaska, and a few other places, that house will shake and you have to reset the foundation. Water will come and wash it away. But when your house is built on a sure foundation, the person that built it, the builder took their time and laid a solid foundation. So no matter what come, your house is not going to move. Then you're good to go no matter what come. You can stay in your house because you know nothing is basically going to happen to it. Oh, you're going to have a little rattle here and a little rattle there. But your house is not going anywhere because you built it on a sure foundation, a solid foundation. Same thing with us. When we come to God through his son, Jesus Christ, we built a solid foundation. And how we build our foundation through prayer and studying and reading his word. Yeah, we go to Bible study, pray and ask God for Bible teaching church. Because we got a lot of entertaining churches, but we need some Bible teaching churches. Truth, you want the truth of God. You want what he said you can do and you want what he said you can't do. Yeah, anybody can speak and make it sound good, but who's telling you every time about God? Who's got him out in the forefront of their lives, of their ministry, of their churches? Who have that? Yeah, I remember he told Peter, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So where are these churches? Because we're the church, believe it or not. Where are the building that's called the church of God, the church of Christ, the church that I can learn about God, I can learn about his son, and I know which way to go and which way not to go. Where is that? Who's teaching this freely? And who's taking time to make sure I get what they're teaching freely? Where are these preachers that's preaching in obedience unto God through his son Jesus Christ and love for his people? Where are they? Yeah. Now we know where the prosperity book selling, you know, movie making and selling people, we know where they are. But I'm talking about the real men of God, the real women of God, they're standing on that sure foundation. and will teach us how to stand. Where are they? Where are they that love us? You live way up in the mountains in Kentucky. I live down in Florida, but something happened to you up in the mountains in Kentucky, and you need help. And I got to go from Florida to Kentucky, because once I get there, it's done. Your God is going to move. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I went out to the hospital yesterday and spent the day with Nikki. We all thought they was going to do her surgery yesterday at 12, but they rescheduled it for today at 12. So I will be back out there with her today. And hopefully after surgery, she won't be in recovery too long. But I want to go with her because I felt scared. I felt being, you know, she was kind of scared, you know. And she's talking herself up to go. But we know that God got her. We prayed the prayer of faith. She and I prayed last night. And we believe everything is going to be all right in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got to get out this week to check on my brother before the weekend. Because I don't hear nothing. I don't, you know what's going on. And I, Texas Children, they say nothing. So I got to go and see for myself. I went last weekend, but I got to go one day this week. Hopefully Thursday I can go and I check on him and come on back. Yeah, but we know that God is able and prayer will do what visits won't. You can't get that prayer. It's the way pray. Yeah, and go on about your business in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to one more song of the morning, and when we come back, we are coming back to listen to The Wolf is at the Door, and afterwards, we're coming through with our topic of the day, Standing on the Sure Foundation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory and honor, Lord. There's none like you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This time I'm going to be ready. Yeah, I'm preparing every day for the return of Almighty God. So when he returns, I'm ready to go. Yeah, there's going to be a wedding to take place, and we're going to need our wedding attire. And I don't want him to come, and I have my dress and my shoes, but my veil is not prepared. Yeah, I haven't selected the jewelry I'm going to wear. What I need to do is get all of this together. I need to know where the venue that we're having, all of these things I need to prepare for. So what we're doing is daily, we're working on us. We're taking self-inventory, and we're working on ourselves to make sure that we're ready when he comes. Our work is done. Our work is done. And it's not the works that save us. It's not what we are doing that calls God to love us. When we were yet sinners, he died for us before we come into the knowledge of him fully. So we yet have work to get done. We yet have things to prepare. See, I yet have to go to this rehab, to this hospital, to this place. It's Sunday, and I'm trying to get me a little bit of rest because the week may be busy. And the phone's still ringing on Sunday. People still have questions. They still want prayer, this, that, and the other. So all of that is yet preparing. Yeah. I found myself repenting yesterday because we can't gossip. And it just sounded like I was talking. But then I found out, I'm looking at it, self-inventory. That was straight up gossip, believe it or not. So we got to watch as well as pray, because we think we're just talking about something or just talking about the situation of somebody, straight up gossip. Yeah. Although I pray and this and that, if they ask, I give, but no gossiping. Not just about your brothers and sisters, but nobody. Even the stars in Hollywood, I don't want to talk about them. And the reason I don't want to talk about them really is because they're not in a place where they need to be. If they was in Jesus and he was in them, I don't think they would find a place in Hollywood. I could be wrong because God has people everywhere. But certain things you're just not going to be partaker of. I don't watch Sherry Shepherd or Carrie Shepherd. I don't watch that kind of stuff. I don't watch really Steve Harvey. I don't, a reality show and the wives of this and the husbands of that. I don't watch that kind of stuff because that's not a real reality. Real reality of a husband and a wife is in the same house working together to build together unto God. They come together in ministry. They come together and talk about the goodness of the Lord. A woman and a husband may be out. He going to take the lead. And he's talking to these people. And she's standing back just praying for him. And praying for the people too while he ministers. Yeah, that kind of stuff. I got to the hospital yesterday laughing, talking. We having a nice time. And the nurse come in to, you know, get all kind of information. And she turned to the side, and when she turned to the side, I saw her walking. I said, oh, she's been to go somewhere. She's been to take a trip. So y'all know me. I'm going to ask you. I like to ask questions. One prophet told me, I don't ask no questions. That's not the way he lead me. He lead me in a way where the people are not shocked and overwhelmed until the Spirit of the Lord moves. Then they become tearful, you know. Oh, but anyway, I asked her, are you planning to take a trip? And by now she had her back to me washing her hands at the sink, the nurse. She said, yeah. And to me, she said it as if, oh, you going on the same trip. You heard about it. And so from there, I went on to tell her what the Lord said about a circle and some other things. And she said, you know one thing I want. As if she was confessing it to God. I have everything else. I'm making good money. In other words, I'm doing good. But a husband. I said, didn't he tell you about that circle? And I said, when he get to third finger, left hand, that's where he placed the wedding band. I was so excited in myself, but I couldn't, do too much. But I tell you, God is faithful. And if we're willing to work unto him, wherever we go, we're not ashamed. And wherever we go, we do what he says. It's already all right in Jesus' name. If he tells you, just sing this song to them. And the song may be, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs we bear. It just may be just that. And they may turn around and look at you and say, you know that song? It came to me this morning and I was singing it all morning. That means for you to tell them God wants you to pay attention because he's your friend. You have a friend in him, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You don't have to tell him, oh, you're going on a trip to New York. You don't have to tell him your husband's name is Tom Brown. Remind him that Jesus is our friend. We're joint heirs with him. We're related through his blood. And maybe now they'll start praying more. Maybe now they'll go back to reading their Bible in the morning. So the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. Everybody have something going on. Everybody have something in their family going on. But we look to the hills from which cometh our help. All of our help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And we want to tell other people this. But you know, the problem I found a lot of times is this. They don't want just what God gave them. That's just not enough. I want this, this, and this. But when you find out, if you accept what he gave you, take care of that. Take care of Bible study. Take care of prayer. Make sure you're truly seeking God and not seeking him for stuff and things. Because we can easily get sidetracked with the desires of our hearts. I remember I was trying to make a list of the desires of my heart. I got confused. I said, oh, I don't even know what I want. Because there's so much to want. But Lord, I desire to go back with you when you come. That's the desire of my true heart, is to go back with you when you come. To come with you when you come to judge the world. That's my desire. I have plenty of stuff and things. That's it. Yeah. Every time you turn around, I'm getting clothes, I'm getting shoes. I got enough stuff and things. Yeah, I have enough gadgets and gadgets. I love gadgets and gadgets. Laptops, notebooks, phones. I got enough. What I need is to focus on going back with him when he comes. I need to focus more on preparing myself, watching, making sure no gossip come up. Watching, make sure unforgiveness don't come up. Make sure when somebody do something I don't like to me, then guess what? I don't quickly judge them and put damnation on them. I don't get frustrated and aggravated so quick. In my mind, when I'm driving, I'm focused on the word. I'm focused on prayer. I'm talking to the Lord about some things. He's talking to me about some things. So what people doing, they switching this lane. They jump over here. They do that. They pull out in front of you. They cut you off. Do what y'all do, because I'm right here doing what I'm doing. And what I'm doing is preparing for his return. I don't know what you're doing or why you did what you did, but I hold nothing against you, and I thank God I don't. And I thank God that I'm remembering If he allowed it, I'm going to accept it, whatever it is today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But there's none like him again this morning. None. I can get myself in trouble. I've done it before. I've gotten myself in trouble. And he come to my rescue. And he didn't come saying, I told you don't do this. I told you to. Now he just came and bailed me out. And let me know I love you. Be careful. Watch as well as pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. I got myself in trouble, Lord. But you blessed me by getting me out of it. Strengthen me and help me. Teach me to watch and pray more. Lord, I may have asked for the lesson of it, and you may have given it unto me, and I forgot. I'm human, and human forget. But Lord, give me the lesson. Teach me again how to watch as well as pray. In the name of Jesus, help me to be careful. Help me to let your spirit lead and guide me. And when you say no, stop and let it be no. Don't move it no further. Don't go into it no further. Because you said stop, no, 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 no. Don't do that. A lot of time God is telling us things. Don't do it, and we keep right on. Now, forgetting is another thing. God, he won't hold stuff that you've forgotten. I believe that. But as soon as he reminds us, we must go to him and ask him, Lord, teach me how to do this again. Teach me how to pray. But Father, I don't know what to pray for. Father, teach me how to have patience. Teach me how to love. Father, show me the way and teach me how to stop gossiping. Show me the way and teach me how to stop not forgiving people. Every little thing agitate me so quick. Help me to be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to aggravation, slow to anger. Help me, Lord. Because I tell you, these things are dangerous. And I know I don't want to be around those kind of people. So if I'm doing this, I know people won't want to be around me. And people, a lot of times they see it as research, but it's complaining. Yeah, that's what it is. They don't even know it. That's why we're praying and asking God to teach us. Lord, help me. Open my blinded eyes that I can see. Open my spiritual eyes, Father, that I can follow you. Open my spiritual ears so I can hear what the Spirit is saying to me, the church. I need you, Lord Jesus. Without you again today, I can't do nothing. It appears I have control of everything. I have control of my mind. I have control of my mouth. I have control of my hands, feet, arms, leg, my body. All but mainly the inside. And some days we feel we are in control of that because we exercise, we this, we that. But let me tell you something. Without him, we can do nothing. If he says stop, your hand will never move again. Your feet will never move again. Your mind will shut down. You won't even know what day it is or where you are or who's the president of the United States. You won't know. And I'm going to say the United States. And pray that we come back together on the same page because we're separated without knowing it. It's no longer called the United States of America. U.S. Should be for the United States of America, but it's not. It appears that each state have their own thing going on. Why? Somebody didn't like it. I'm pulling out. I don't want it. Send me this way. Y'all do what if you're divided against yourself, you won't stand. I'm not divided against my church. That's why I stand. We stand together. Something come up, we need to get it done. We work on it together. Nobody's bigger than nobody else. Nobody's badder than nobody else. I know they love me over there. But I can't take privilege, you know, be privileged over there because I do this. Or I go there and they ask me this. Now, oh, you know, they used to do it at a lot of churches. Pastor so-and-so gave $100. You don't do that. That's not the way. Put that pray before the offering. Put that, get, collect the offering, pray over the offering and be through. And don't go back asking people for more money. God already gave what he was going to give in there. He already pulled it out to people what they were going to give. If it don't add up, then get on your knees. It's time to pray. Or get a second job, whatever you want to do. But in his house, don't let it be like any other place, because it should be different in his house. Praise and worship should be a good time. Ooh, honey, we praising God. We worshiping the true and living God. And I ain't got to keep telling my neighbor nothing. And I ain't got to beg people to get up and stand up, because when the Spirit of the Lord fall in there, you're going to hear some weeping and crying. You're going to hear some hallelujah, thank you, Lord. You're going to hear some God, I need you. You're going to hear praise and worship. You're going to hear prayer going forth. But it must come from a sincere place. And it can't be watered down. And it can't be how you feel and what you want to do. It's got to be according to his word. They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Yeah, hallelujah. And it's already all right. In our topic, I was going to the wolf is at the door. If we finish early enough, we'll go to the wolf is at the door. But if not, we're going to finish this. So I thank God. I thank God for a clear mind, because I would have messed up this morning. But God is faithful. God is faithful. Standing on the sure foundation. We are standing on Jesus. We are standing on the word. And if we remember today, he's yet the word of God. In the beginning was the word. And Jesus is the word. And he's still the word today. He's the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So look, standing on this sure foundation, you can't fail. You'll never fail. It may not go the way you like it, the way you plan it, or the way you think that failure is not. But guess what? If you're standing on the word of God, if you're standing in Jesus, you will never fail. How can you say that, Barbara? I started a business and it was a flop. How can you say that, Barbara? I went to school and I flunked. Without God, you can do nothing. Without God, you can do nothing. And many times we think, because this is what we want and the time and effort we put into it, it should come out right. But many times, that's not your life. That's not the way for you to go. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. And see, sometimes we don't seek God. We start and then we decide to ask him. Well, it's too late. You already started without him. He allowed you health and strength and your mind working. And you already started without him. But guess what? You're going to fail at it. It won't go to where you want it to go. But if you start off with him and you make sure you got your instructions from him and this is what he would have you to do, then yes, you're going all the way. But we need the word of God to stand on us, a foundation. It is what causes us to make it through each and every day, the word of God. Because we see so much going on that's not according to his word. Until we need to be a peculiar people of a royal priesthood. We need to be different. We don't need to stand and go for what everybody else is going for. Yeah, and it's already all right in Jesus' name. Yeah. Let me tell y'all something. That devil come but to kill, steal, and destroy. Daily now, I'm 67, and he's coming more because of the age. And he's coming more because he think that I'm a fall for what he's telling me. He's a fool and a liar. And we'll make a fool and a liar out of us. We have to allow him to. I stand against him. The blood of Jesus right now is against him. Greater is he that lives within me than he that is in the world. He come and do all kind of stuff. And I back up. I back up to a certain degree. I back up. So I'm backing up not because I'm afraid, but humbleness. But in some days I have to let the devil know, no. This and that, and I'm through. Yeah. Because we have to be careful. A mind is something serious. And there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. What? How you come to the woman of God with all your knowledge? If you were so full, why didn't I come to you? It's just the devil. It's not the person. It's the devil. And this is what happened to Satan. Listen. Satan allowed evil to enter his mind. And he allowed it so he reacted on it. When he knew anything, he was thrown out of heaven. Yeah, that's how it all starts, in your mind. Watch yourself. Be careful. Watch as well as pray. Lord, teach me how to watch as well as pray. Lord, teach me how not to come against you. Because many times we can come against God and we don't even know it. Because we're so structured in our way. Huh? Glory to his majesty this morning. And we got it together. I saw something yesterday. Uh-huh. And I said, Lord, have mercy. I don't know if you ever heard the term your slip hanging. And when your slip is hanging, a lot of people don't know the slip is hanging. Somebody will come by and tell you, oh, your slip hanging. Or they may come by and say, your dress having a party and inviting your slip up. Because back in the day, everybody, like I still do today, wore a slip under your dress. That keep, when you're in the sunlight, it keeps you from seeing through the dress of the underclothes that, you know, other underneath you have on. And most time women wore a black slip, depending on the dress. If it was a black dress, sometimes they wore a dark burgundy or whatever. I mean, a dark beige or whatever. Was it there with white? Yeah, they were white. So when you wore a white dress, you put a white slip on. I always put a black one on. That was just my way. But listen, so we have to be careful. Praying and asking God all the time to teach us. That's what this word is all about. His word will teach us. His spirit will teach us. He will allow his spirit to move for us. It's a fool that despises wisdom, learning. And see, when the enemy using people, they'll tell me that, oh, you don't want to know now what it is. I don't want the devil talking to me, and I don't want the devil giving me his stuff like he done gave it to you, and your mind messed up. Now, don't bring that to me. I don't need any of that. I'm straight. I've been straight. 1993 straight me. I come to God just as I was, weary, wounded, and sad. I had a well-made up mind. And at that time, for God I live, or for God I die. If I found God, the true and living God that have all power, whatever was required of me to do, I was willing at that point. And from then on, stayed with it. Yeah. So, watching words. Yesterday, I was seeing some things and saying some things, but watch your words. Barbara, be careful with your words. And more, be quick to hear, Barbara, slow to speak. Uh-huh. And it's already all right. In Jesus' name. Yeah. A lot going on today. And we need the Lord. We need his leadership, his guidance. Nothing else. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So standing on the sure foundation. The sure foundation is the word of Almighty God, who have all power. Jehovah. Yeah. To know this, we have to seek after this God and allow him to know we want him in our lives. And because of what we find in him, we can't stop telling others about him each day we wake up. We need him this morning. I'm standing in Jesus. Listen to this. This is 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. And we're going to look at verses 11, maybe 12, maybe go back up. But he wrote this, and he was talking to him about being carnal, materialistic, in the church, but we're doing more of what the world has set in place. We're not really into God, you know, and we was fed the milk. You know, he came and he taught, Apostle Paul, he come and he taught. Timothy was going to be able to bring letters to the church so that they can learn what Apostle Paul was teaching, and he taught Jesus, and many didn't grasp Jesus. They grasped the concept, but they didn't grasp him, and they were still doing things in their natural way, and some may have called it spiritual, but it was the natural movement. Yeah. So in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're just going to read a little bit and get down, and then we're going on over, I think it's to verse 11 or 12. And our brethren could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, you hear that? But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Many times God spoke here, and people sat back and said nothing. The studio is open, not a thing. But when we brought carnal stuff to talk about, many had much to say. And our brethren could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Verse 2 said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. I've had people to tell, oh no, I can't come over there. That's a hard teaching. Nobody can live that. Really? Jesus did it. That was the first example. And we can do it if we choose to. But we must choose it and realize our life is hid in him. Realize nothing is more important than that relationship with God. Nothing is more important than receiving his son, because if you die without Jesus, hell is your home. We've heard many times what go on in hell. We heard the scripture that hell enlarges itself daily. We heard that it wasn't designed for man, but man became so evil and refused to return from it. Go back to God. Verse 3 says, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Yeah. Not as the saints of God, but as men. Verse says, for while one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? And this is what happened to many people. We go to church, but we don't go to God. We go to the pastor. We make men and women our gods. And we can't believe because we think it's in the man. It's not in any man or any woman. It's in Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to God is through his son, Jesus. And if we're not going through Jesus and we're not banking on Jesus and we're not putting our hope and trust and everything in Jesus, we in bad shape. Man will fail you. The scripture teaches us, put no trust in man, any woman. Don't put your trust in them, but trust in the Lord. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Well, while one says, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. Did you hear that? Yeah, it's God that moves. It's God that changed the heart. It's God that forgives sins. It's God that makes you whole when you pray. It's his word that's true. No preacher word is true. It's the word of God that's true. And those that find fault in his word, it's not in the word. The fault is in you. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Did you hear that? But you got to learn to stand on the solid foundation, the sure foundation, Jesus Christ. We got to learn to stand on it. We got to learn to stand on the word of God no matter what come our way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No matter what come our way, we're standing on his word, for his word is true. Heaven and earth will pass away before one little jot of his word fail. Stop giving all the credit to man and remember Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the savior of the world. Late in the midnight hour, he will be there with you. Nobody else. Sometimes you can be married, your husband, a wife is in the bed, sleep, one or the other, and you woke, thinking about something, talking to God about something. Y'all in the same house, he in the living room, you in the kitchen, or he in the kitchen and you in the living room. And both of y'all are talking to God about different things. Yeah. On your jobs, both of y'all may work. It's you that's giving God the opportunity. And God is giving you the opportunity because I'm in him and he's in me. That God gives the increase. It's never me nor my husband. God gave the increase. We're on the same page when we come to prayer together every morning, he and I. But then we each have our personal prayer time because we each have a personal closet, a prayer closet. And we start our day and we go on our day. We go to work or whatever we got lined up. Lay on your own business and work together. She may run the business and you oversee and make sure everything is getting done. He may be the one with the physical strength in that. He can lift stuff, move stuff, all of this. But you're both standing on a solid foundation. Jesus Christ and the word of God. Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. 8 says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We are the church. Dr. Goodman. Sister Rita, Rose Brown, Brother Anthony, Sister Irene, Pastor David, Sister Sion, the whole Shawana Wana Shebang Bang. We are the church. We plant. And some of us water. And when we're talking about planting a seed, we planting the word of God to man. We're witnessing of his goodness. We're talking about his wondrous works, making known his deeds among the people. We're talking about he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. As we're doing this, we're lifting him up, but we're watering. One or the other come along, and we plant it, and one or the other come along, and they water it. You may have planted, and I come along and water it. But we both know, all of us know, that it's God that gave the increase. And because each one of us worked a work, we each will receive our own reward according to our own labor, according to what we did. Not just when we go back with him, but right here on the earth. Every time I serve, he pays. And not just in money, but in healing, in being closed in my right mind, and in doing things I thought I couldn't get done, he rewards me. And the more I faithfully seek him, he rewards me. Verse 9 says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We're the church. We're the church. It's not in the building. It's in us, his building. Yeah. We are the church. We are the building of God. And we're constantly building. We're constantly building. We're constantly talking of his wondrous works and making known his deeds among the people. Yeah. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Thereupon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Yeah. We got to be careful. I don't care what the people do, because a lot of times lay people, they don't understand. And many times the mind is messed up. And he done preached out his soul. He done preached out his heart. He done did everything but live it for them, basically. And he keep doing this and keep And the more he does it, the worse the people get. The more he do it, the worse they get. They become more carnal. In the church, they envying and they striping and they got division. And they corner and they just walking as the world walk. And then they'll get together and say, well, I don't like Pastor Brown. Assistant Pastor Brown. I don't like the assistant pastor. If he preaching, I'm not coming to church. I want to hear Pastor Tim preach. He my kind of preacher. What kind of fool is he? So while one says, I'm a Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Yes, you are, because you're not accepting what God allows. If God send assistant Pastor Brown to preach, I'm going to hear it. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? See, but we forget, I'm going to tell you why I've seen it in many churches, but I see it a lot in the Baptist church. I've seen this kind of stuff. And I'm not just singling the Baptist church out. I'm against the Baptist. No, I'm not against anybody. But God so loved the world. He loved the good. He loved the bad. And he loved the ugly. I'm just sharing my experience. Yeah. Because this is what's wrong with the world. I can't say nothing no more. Everybody is against words all of a sudden. Because they want to have their way. They want to do what they want to do. I'm talking about in leadership. In the church and in this country. Because they feel like we're giving everybody a chance. No, you're not. You're serving the devil. There has got to be boundaries. You cannot just put in and everything before children. The elderly has worked hard here. They bear children and raise their children so their children could have children and their children could have children. They set a foundation, many of them. But there's no respect. Our military men go to war for us, do what we can to keep us protected, but there's no respect. And nowadays, you just can't get out there and say it. I say what I have to say. And hopefully without offending anybody. But it's the truth. And if you hear the truth, it's up to you to accept it. You can accept the truth or not accept it. Accept lies and be a fool. It's up to you. But I've seen this stuff in many places where they say they are of God. They are of the church. I've heard the preachers cussing. The word said, put that filthy communication out of your mouth. And look, some of them know it's wrong, but they've been doing it so long until when they do it, they don't even know they're cussing. We can't just eat the meat and dessert. We got to eat the meat, the dessert, the bread, and the vegetables, and have a starch somewhere. We got to eat the complete meal to be completely whole. We can't pick and choose what we want to do and what we want to eat and how we want to do it and how we want it made. We can't do that. God is the one. He's the one that's in charge. Yeah. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth upon. Many members, one body, remember? Many members, one body. You may come with me, finger on my hand, but finger, you have to be careful how you move with the thumb and my hand, because if we move in the wrong way, we're going to break this hand. We might destroy this hand. They may have to cut this hand completely off. Master builder. Hallelujah. 11 says, for other foundations can no man lay that is laid. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Which is Jesus Christ. Now, he know they carnal. So verse 12 says, now if any man build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. My goodness alive. Some people can't wait. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. 14 says, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If your work stand. Even when we get that, we can say, these are they. This is the work, Lord. If it's according to his work, if it's done rightly, it'll stand. If not, it'll burn up before you. And when it burn up, you're lost. When you burn up, look at your stuff, it's gone. 14, if any man work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Remember the hand and the finger and the thumb and the body. We built, and we built carefully, and we continued on that we didn't destroy nothing. 15 says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Didn't I say it? But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. He'll be saved, but you done lost the work. I'm not sure if I have to start over. I'm not sure if I can start over, which I can't go, I cannot go back to 93, 94, 95, 96. I can't go back and undo what I didn't do back there. Opportunity presented itself, but I ignored it. 16 says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. 17 says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. When I hear this, it reminds me of piercing. It reminds me of tattoos. It reminds me of addictions, even food, because food can become an addiction. Sugar is, and we consider sugar food. Too much of anything can become an addiction. And if we do it long enough, we'll destroy the body. Yeah. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Yeah. Because the things of God is foolishness to many. The things of God is boring. It's not important. It's not true to many. So many times as a master builder, as a great witness unto God, we appear to be fools. And then they can see, but you have to break it down to them in a way. You just can't give it to them raw, because they can't handle that. 19 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Yeah. Many times we want more than we are offered. I was thinking the other day, and I know the Lord saw, because he know the intent of my heart. The more you give me, the more I want. You gave me a small SUV, I mean wonderfully, just for me. I don't have children like that, and you know, small children I got to take to school. You know, my parents are not living. I don't have to take them to the doctor and this and that. So what he gave me was for me, and my children are adults, and they have 2 or 3 cars. They have their own transportation. So even Shantae, she have her own car. So it's what he gave me. And then I'm looking at the Cadillac. I'm looking at another car, a Nissan. I'm like, now I want another truck. I'm like, the more you give me, the more I want. And I know the hole been filled in me. I had a hole in me. And anything you put in that hole, it run out because it didn't have nothing to hold it in place. But he sealed the hole when he gave me the Holy Spirit. Enough is enough. He sealed me when he sanctified me, brought me up out the mock and the miry clay, set me aside unto himself. He filled me with his Spirit. I'm not empty in any kind of way. But the more he gives, the more I want. And I was thinking, I should want more of him, not more of stuff and things. I have more than enough of that. My focus should be on having more God, more Jesus, sharing his good news more, talking of his wondrous work more, preparing more for his return. And let all this other stuff go because it's carnal. It's materialistic. It won't last throughout eternity. I bought the truck in 2015. Beautiful. Oh, my goodness. Sparkly in the color and just seats just perfect. It won't last. Even if God don't come back right away, that won't last. Yeah. The furniture, it's not going to last forever. Even the bedroom suit that I don't sleep in a lot of times, that won't last because eventually it's going to crumble and fall apart if I just keep that one and not change it out. The stove, the refrigerator, that's not going to last. Even the gold of this world is not going to last. I can have all the sapphires and emeralds and diamonds and topaz and rubies that I want. And I can have all of that of this world, but it's not last. Money, all of that's going. Jehovah God is bringing down a new heaven and a new earth. So we need to get off of the stuff and things and get off of my pride. I can't say nothing to them because they don't know me and I'm going to look like a fool. Become a fool for God. Everywhere you go, share what you can. Whatever gift you got, if it's in order right there for that time, share it. Ask people questions. Do you know Jesus? A lot of times the way that I present it won't come off as a Christian. It, it, won't, It won't come off as churchy. As Brother Lance used to say, I feel churchy right now. It won't come off as churchy. Yeah. But it'll come off as two human beings having a conversation. But as they listen more to what God is bringing out of my mouth, according to his word that I've studied it, he's given me the understanding now. You'll soon see him tear up. Many times they say, I just read that this morning. I just studied that this morning. I've been thinking about that all morning. You see? Because God was preparing them to receive what he was sending you to give. You don't have to be a prophet to be a great witness. You don't have to tell people their name, birth date, social security. You don't have to do that. If God gave you that gift, you're blessed, and use it to edify the church. Go on and bless the church, because they're the ones who are going to understand. But if he didn't give you that gift, study the word and be able to share it in season and out of season. At the baseball game, you could talk about the wondrous works. At the movie theater, you could talk about his wondrous works. At the car wash, yeah, at the car wash, you could talk about his wondrous works. At the Walmart, wherever you go. We say we got so many Christians, so many followers of Christ, but people are constantly going, just going, going, going. And no, we'll pray and ask God for discernment. Pray and ask God to teach you how, that you don't be out of place. You're surrounded by devil worshipers, and they're not going to change, and they don't want to change. And you steady working. No, that's not what I want to do, Lord, and that's not what you want me to do. You're sending me where the harvest is plenteous, but you're sending me basically for those that are prepared. You already started working on them, and they want to receive. Yeah. Evil is evil, and many times it won't change. It's got to be somebody that has not sold themselves to evil and really want to come out. Yeah. If not, they want to stay in there. Yeah. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. 19 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Ooh, you talking about it this morning. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Yeah. And we see it every day. See, Hollywood messes a lot of people up because they think they're going to have flawless skin. They don't think nothing will change about them. And if it does, I got to go have this fixed. I was looking at some pictures of actors who back in the day were young, but today they're much older, and their cheeks puffed up like they related to Indians. They don't have no Indian blood in them, shots in their face, and it blow up the cheeks so it appear they have no wrinkles. Some of it is the most horrific thing you ever saw in your life. That's because of the mind. The mind. We pray, Lord, let this Father God, let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. Regulate our minds daily, God. Lord, don't let us see foolishness and chase after it and mess ourselves up, because this is your temple. And your spirit dwell in us. And if we defile the temple of yours, you're going to destroy us. For the temple of God is holy, which we are. We are your temple. Fix our hearts. Regulate our minds. That God, we don't walk around with all this stuff. We don't put all this makeup on. We don't have to do all of that. That's to impress man, because if you know you, you got to accept you for you. God made you the way that you are, but you don't like it, so you're going to do this and you're going to do that. No, stop it, I say. I can understand a woman been shot in the face, stabbed up, blowed up, burned up. She don't want to come out and appear to the world as a monster. So she bless herself by making herself up so that it appears she have no flaws. I understand that. But there is nothing wrong with you. You haven't been blowed up, shot up, tore up, burned up, nothing. But you got to have all this stuff so that you can appear to the world, and mainly men. Boy, I'm telling you the truth. Hours and hours in the bathroom. Hours and hours in the mirror, painting and fixing. We are artists. When we come to God, we come to reality. We come to the realness. All this other stuff you heard before you got to God, that wasn't real. He's going to show you realness. Yeah. And he told us, come out from the world. Come out from among them and be separated. He'll be our God and we'll be his people. But I don't know too many people that do all these kind of things who are not vain. Ooh, honey. But the mind. That mind will play some tricks on you. That mind will tell you some things that's not true. And you looking in the mirror, oh, I've got a spot right. I don't even pay it no attention. Many times Shante said, Mama, you seen that? What is that? I don't know. And I keep right on going. And sometimes she'll come back, what is that, Mama? That's the distance of that. Well, whatever. And I go right on in Jesus. Yeah. That inward beauty. Inward beauty will show outwardly. The love you have in you for people, the kindness you have for others, being there for people. They may be strangers, but you're willing to be there. They may not be related to you. You know, even as brothers and sisters in Christ per se, they say they are, but they're not. But you're always there for people. You're always there for somebody. And it's not our own family members all the time. Because many times God offered them the opportunity to be in your presence and to receive from you, but they can't. The prophet is not honored in his own country, our home. Because people remember when. Hallelujah. Oh, I remember when Bob was out there. Child, everybody was on. Oh, no, child, I couldn't hang. She'll fight right now. Oh, something will break out. Yeah. They remember when. It tickled me today. I used to be upset about it when I first came to Jesus and I didn't know. I'm like, I'm trying to give it to them, Lord. They're acting a fool. And he had to teach me. A prophet is not honored in their own country or home. And it may be a very, very long time before they receive you as being saved. But what you do, don't get frustrated and aggravated with them. What you do is stay in me and allow me to stay in you. Because see, they're going to remember when. when you used to do this stuff, and they haven't changed, so therefore they don't think you have changed. And then they hear the rumors about you. Although there is some truth to rumors, y'all, but they will hear the rumors about you. And they will still see you as winning back in the day. But if any man be a creature, see, this is what you got to learn and stick with it and know for yourself. If any man be in Christ, any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Listen, you got to remember that in situations. Because sometimes you're talking to your husband, say, I want to hear that church stuff out of you. Yeah, because you can't talk it, you got to live it. I didn't talk it to people in my past. I lived it before. Even my family, they treated me like they didn't believe I had changed. But then eventually I got to see they didn't too much want me around too often, because what would take place, all the liquor drinking, the church folks drinking liquor and cussing. They doing what? They smoking weed. Some of them in the backyard hitting a toke of crack. They didn't want you to see. And I continued on in Jesus. And the day came. Called by. This doesn't happen and that doesn't happen. Called by. Yeah. And it's already all right today in Jesus' name. Again, but if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. If you're still doing them old, same old things, you ain't made no changes, go back to the altar. Yeah, because old things will pass away. Behold, all things will become new. Yeah. Them lies and all that, you won't want to do that no more. All the clubbing, all the cussing, all the cheating people, you won't want to do that no more. Gossiping, yeah, you won't want to do it no more. Deceiving people, you won't want to do it no more. Yeah. Hanging with the wrong crowd, no, that crowd there, that's not for me. Because once you come to Jesus, he's in you and you're in him. You want to live in peace. You like peace. Oh, it's so wonderful to have peace. It's so wonderful to be full of joy and to be happy. Love is a beautiful thing. And you just love everybody. You ain't got no ill will for nobody, even your enemies. You can care less. You pray that God bless them. Bring them out of darkness into this marvelous light. Because what I have is so wonderful. Lord, I want them to have it. They don't know. That's why they cutting up and acting a donkey. People don't know. But once they come into the knowledge, the full knowledge of God through his son, Jesus Christ, peace, love, joy, happiness, rest, all of that come into play. I can leave from right here. Leave out the office and hit the couch. In less than 5 minutes, I'm out like a light. I go right on the, right on the sleep. That's God. Peace, joy, happiness, fulfillment. Yeah, the whole thing has been replaced. It's been not repaired, but it removed itself. I no longer needed the hole because I was still now. Yeah, I can talk to anybody. Don't matter. A lot of times I'm talking to people and the Lord has showed me things. I can't say nothing, but he showed me for a reason. Hallelujah. And sometimes, you know, people just forget. People just forget. We're human and humans forget. But remind us. Just remind us, dear Lord. We want to be reminded so we can prepare for your return. It's a big deal for you to return to us. It's bigger than life. when you return, Father, because you're coming back looking for your church, without spot or wrinkle. You're coming back looking for us to take us to a place that your son Jesus prepared. No more crying, no more dying, no more suffering, no more sadness. No more evil, no more bad. Hallelujah. Heaven is a special place. And Father, we're looking forward to going. You wish that none should perish. And today, everyone, anytime they hear this, Lord, send the spirit of preparation on them. Send the spirit of saving on them. In the name of Jesus, that none would be lost. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Listen, I want to pray the prayer of faith. And afterwards, we're coming back with one more song. And we may have time to hear The Wolf Is at the Door. Or we could hear the young man that went to hell. I like to play him often, too, to remind us of some things. But anyway, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. Thank you for life, health, and strength. Father, we thank you that you woke us up this morning, closing our right mind. This is a Tuesday we never seen before. And Lord, we ask that you would lead and guide us throughout our Tuesday in the name of Jesus. Yesterday's gone and tomorrow's not promised. We have this Tuesday. And help us, Lord, to live it to the fullness in you. In the name of Jesus, we bless your holy name today. We lift you up, for there's none like you. We're thankful, Father, for all that you've given unto us. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your son suffering and dying and rising again for us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads and guides us in the right path for your name's sake. And bring all things back to our remembrance. Lord, we thank you that it's a navigator through this old life. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise this morning. Hallelujah. I bring every caller and every listener before you today, oh God. And whenever they may hear this, it may be years later, maybe months later, days later. But God, I ask that you would move on standing, hallelujah, on this your foundation. Help us to stand on your son, Jesus. Help us to stand in him. Help us to allow the Holy Spirit to move and to lead and guide. And we follow today, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Help us not to be a carnal people, but help us to be godly through your son, Jesus, through your Holy Spirit today, through your word, through prayer. And Father, help us to be real in you. Help us not to be carnal Christians with honoring you with our lips, but our heart is far from it. Help us, Lord, to be the ones that stay focused because we need you this morning. Without you, we can do nothing. And Father, I bring each and every caller. Ask that you would do it for us all. Those that are struggling, God, those that the enemy want to stress out and depress out. Father, I ask this morning that you would lift every burden in the name of Jesus and remind your people to trust you. It's already on the way. Father, today do it for them. Release them, oh God. Send joy, peace, and happiness their way in the name of Jesus. Lord, some need to take a vacation to unwind from all that they've been struggling with. Open the door for a vacation. We're in spring. We're in summer. Lord, open the door and do it for your people. Some may be in winter, but they can take a winter vacation. Do it for them. In the name of Jesus. Father, it's best to go away sometime. Get a change of scenery. Sometime you have the blessing waiting on us to teach us in the new place where we've gone. Help today. Let no calamity come nigh our dwelling, O God. We are in you and you are in us. We bind up every evil and hindering and negative spirit that's coming our way this day. March 16, 2024, in Jesus' name. Father, we cast it to hell, never to return, to the pits of hell, never to return. And Father, we loose your blessings and miracles upon us, uncommon favors, uncommon blessings and miracles this day. We release walking in you, walking in the spirit, that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. We release living by faith and not by sight in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you would rebuke the devourer for our sake. In the name of Jesus, no calamity shall come nigh our dwelling. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask today that you would strengthen us in you to walk upright before you. In Jesus' name, we ask it all. And Lord, those that stand in the need of finances this day, lift every burden debt free, O God. Make your people debt free. Oh, we know that you're able. The earth is yours, Father, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Debt free today. Send finances, uncommon miracles of finances, that everything is paid off. And sometimes, Lord, you won't send the money. It's just done. Somebody come along and just do it. And sometimes people will ask you if you need this, and you say, yeah, and they pay the entire thing off. Father, it's you that causes these situations to happen. Uncommon favor, do it today. Bring the good works up in us before you for a memorial today. And Lord, you give according as you know is deserved in the name of Jesus. We thank you. Hallelujah. We give you glory. And Father, we touch and agree. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Your words said we're two or three. And Father, we trust you right there. We believe you right there. In Jesus' name. Amen. And hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you today. We thank you, Lord, because we can't do it on our own. Oh, we need you this morning, oh God, like never before. And Father, we ask that you would touch Nikki. Strengthen her, oh God. Give her a strong heart. Give her a strong mind to know that you're going to bring her out of this thing. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Sister Sharon, Sister Dottie, Sister Irene, my brother Willie today, oh God, touch and heal. In Jesus' name. Oh, we thank you right now. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. And Father, we ask it all again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Everyone that's feeling under the weather, Lord, touch and heal today. Oh, you heal all manner of sickness and disease. Do it today for your people in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We thank you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Father, there's none like you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word this morning. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, and Father, it's a light unto our path. Forever, oh God, that word is settled in heaven. Amen. Goes right there. Hallelujah. I feel all right there. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. So look, we're going to one more song of the morning, and when we come back, we'll take a listen to, let me see, The Wolf is at the Door. Yeah. I wanted to play again. Let's see. The one that I was dead for 3 minutes and 37 seconds and went to hell. That's the one where he got shot and was falling backwards. But when in a few minutes, he found himself falling forward. And he tell us the different reasons and the different things that he got to view why he was in hell. And if I have time today, I want to look at some more to see what else they can share. Because you know when something is real. Many times you can feel that thing. Ooh, yeah. Yeah. And I played the other one where they were screaming, and a lot of people didn't like that one. I said, well, I may be able to play it in the future, but I won't play it right away. Yeah, but this one, yeah, we can go with this one. I could go with the other one. I don't have a problem with any of them, but I thank God for helping us. So listen, we're going to this one.
But as I'm falling, the more I'm falling, the more I'm feeling things getting stripped away from me. Meaning such as like hope, love, all the stuff that we take for granted here that we don't realize that come from God, they're stripped from you as you're falling to this place. I'm trying to get up. Then all of a sudden, I felt something grab my head, and I can see the claw. This thing had to be huge, and it threw me. There is no form of hate here on this planet that can even get close to how they feel about us. They hate you so bad, you can feel it. The energy will kill you. You had a lot of people calling out to God. You had a lot of people asking for 5 more minutes, 1 more chance. Felt like I was there for months.
Wow.
It felt like I was there for months. And I was only there for like 3 minutes and 40-something seconds, 47 seconds.
Where were you shot?
In my stomach. Twice.
Okay.
That's why I'm still experiencing medical conditions right now. I still have fragments of bullets in me.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome. It's Ranzo here from Know Christ. Today we have someone very, very special. He's about to share his testimony, a very, very powerful testimony, one that convicted me, one that is the most compelling health testimony I've heard, one off. Indeed, so I want you guys to just sit back, relax, and get ready. Hey, Dominic, thanks for coming on.
Whoa, thank you for having me. I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank
all
you.
Right. So
yes, go ahead.
No problem. I saw your testimony on, I believe it's called Touching the Afterlife, right? Your wife reached out to me. I saw the video on YouTube, but I hadn't clicked on it yet. And then I saw an email from your wife, right, just sharing your story. And she said you never wanted to share, but she's like, you got to share. You got to share, right?
Yeah.
And then look what's happening. God is using it, right?
Yes, definitely. Because at first, I didn't want to share it. For years, I didn't, you know. And I don't think, you know, I just think the Lord put it on my heart. Everything is on his timing, not on our timing. And I want people to realize that. Everything is on the Lord's timing. And it wasn't time for me years ago to share it because I wasn't spiritually mature enough to handle all the things that are coming and the blessings that are coming from the testimony and the testimony, how it's touching others. So I just know that it was his timing, you know. But, I was very reluctant to give my testimony, but I'm glad I did.
I want to go all the way back. Your story, right, from the beginning.
Sure. Well, you know, I'm originally from Chicago, Illinois. Grew up, you know, like I said, with a loving grandmother. She was the light of our family. You know, we had, you know, I mean, pretty much she tried to instill God in us, but the neighborhood that we were in, it wasn't fostering of God. It wasn't that way. You know, and my mom went through trauma. My father passed away at a younger age. And, you know, and my mom went down a dark road. She started to use drugs, unfortunately. And with that came for her neglecting me and my brother and sister in a lot of ways. You know, now that I look back on it, I'm kind of, you know, glad that she did neglect us because I wouldn't have found God to this purpose, you know. And just to throw it out there, my mom has been sober for over 22 years now. So thank the Lord for that, you know. But just starting off growing up in Chicago, it was that environment is so hellish. A lot of the choices that you have is pretty much the only gang you're going to choose. That is, I mean, your choices are limited. Job opportunities are limited. So me growing up in the neighborhood that I grew up, our district has over 500,000 people just in our district alone. So it's always crowded, a lot of gang activity, drugs, and me not having a lot of different role models. And I did. I just didn't have the discernment to see the people around me that I should have followed. But I was more following the streets. You know, I was following more of the gang life. I wanted the money. I wanted the, you know what I mean? And also I was tired of struggling. So I wanted the fast way out. So by the time I was 12 years old, I joined a gang. I don't like to glorify it, so I won't name the gang that I joined because I don't want to give them no credit at all. You know, but I did join it's the infamous street gang that's all over the country that I joined. And I started selling drugs, you know. Instantly, I was good at that because one thing about me, I love school. School was always my place of peace. It kept my mind off my neighborhood. It kept my mind off everything. So when I went to school, it was just like peaceful to me, and I always loved to educate myself. So that was another thing that I realized God put inside me. But as soon as I got out of school, it's time to put on the war helmet. You know what I mean? It's a different feel to it. But I got pretty fast. I was very smart, so I was very intelligent in learning how to sell drugs. Moved up fast in the rankings because of my intelligence, but I was using my intelligence for the wrong things. you know, I used it for the dark side. Manipulation, you know, especially when it comes to the women, like I say, money, everything. It was just my whole focus and my aim was just totally, totally off. Because in our culture, we're programmed to worship and idolize certain things. We're, quote, makes you a man. You know what I mean? You know, and that's not the case. But I thought I was becoming a man. I thought me, you know, having a status in a gang, I thought me having money, you know, people being scared of me, me being to shoot guns, I thought that made me a man. And so the more I thought that, the more, of course, I was hungry and enticed to live that type of lifestyle.
There's one thing I wanted to touch on. You said when you were younger, some of your family members were involved in like Santeria, et cetera.
Oh,
and you
yes.
saw something. Definitely. You saw something when you were a young boy. So tell us about that if you want to share it. This ceremony thing, if you want to go into it.
Well, there are ceremonies in Santeria, in the culture, you know, Cuban culture, Latin culture, Dominican culture. They call it sweats, okay? And when I was younger, I went to a sweat, and that's where they pinch a tent, and they burn hot stoves, and you pretty much almost naked. And the whole intention is to give all the spirits a chance to come through you and in you. And, that's why I knew the spirit realm was real. That's why I knew demons were real. But when I was young, I didn't know those were demons. Well, you're packed. I was packed inside this tent, and they're praying to. Okay, one thing I want people to know: in Santeria, there are 9 principalities. Okay, and these 9 principalities are the principalities that run the whole world. And what happens is, each year, at the end of each year, they shift different places. So each principality takes over a new territory on the earth. And when this happens, you give praise and worship to these new principalities that shift positions. And a lot of people, when we have these sweats, it's in honor of the new principality ushering in that new principality that's coming in over a certain territory. Okay, now on this occasion, I was in the sweat, a ceremony, and there were just tons of just rocks. It's an altar, okay? It's a form of an altar, but it's an altar. And, you know, you get to a point of it, and everyone's chanting and chanting. I don't want to say those names because people don't realize when you say these demonic name that actually can come into your life and your portal. So I'm just going to say one of these principalities were being ushered in to the sweat ceremony, to the ritual. And as I'm looking, there was an altar, and this altar of hot stones, that's what gives off the heat to make everybody sweat. But this stones, the smoke that was coming from it started to become solid. Okay. Now, as I'm looking at it becoming solid, it started to form of the shape of a body. You can start to see the legs, the upper body, the arms. And I'm looking like, wait a minute, I had to focus my eyes. But the more I'm looking at it, this thing is solidifying. It's becoming solid, okay? And now you can start clearly see a form of a young, beautiful lady. I mean, one of the most beautiful ladies I've ever seen in my life. I'm not going to lie to you. But she just started manifesting into a solid form, okay? Even then you can start to see the color. She had a white robe on. She was pretty much like my complexion, maybe a little darker, long, silky hair, but she completely formed out of smoke. And one thing, yes, this is
into like, a real body, into a physical
into a
body?
Physical body, okay? And one of the high priestesses that came up grabbed her hand, and she stepped out of from the smoke down, and they said, "Welcome, sister. Thank you for coming and joining us today." But I was so petrified that I squirmed my way through this ceremony and just took off running. I mean, I took off. Yeah, I couldn't even, because it reminded me of the same fear. Spiritual fear and physical fear are two different elements. Mm. It's way more magnified. That's why some people who get haunted by demonic forces and things, it's a different terror. It's not even fear. It's outside the realm of regular fear that we experience here on earth. It's outside this dimension. That's why it's more powerful.
Okay.
So that was just one incident, and we could talk more about that. But
you were a little boy at this time. Like, how old were
yes,
you at this time?
I was 9 years old.
Okay. So let's fast forward back to gang life. You're doing all that, right?
Yes.
Your wife also said that you were just searching for religions, like searching for truth. You know,
yes,
looking
I was
into different things.
Yeah, my family can vouch for that. I was. It just always had a compelling to form with God. That's why I was Muslim. I was a Black Hebrew Israelite. You know, like I said, Santeria, New Age movement. I did so much research over the years trying to find him. And the funny part was he was with me the whole time. Mm. While I was out there looking for all these things, that's what people don't realize. While you're out there searching and trying to search, whenever you have an inkling to find him, that means he's already found you.
Okay. Yeah, he's right. They're just waiting for you.
So he's already there. So
Did you look into Christianity?
I thought it was a hoax. I thought it was a. I'm just being honest. This is just. I'm keeping 100, as we say. I thought it was a hoax. I thought it was just a fear tactic. I thought it was just used to manipulate and control people. I thought it was a European white man's religion. You know what I mean? Come to find out, actually, it's an ancient African religion. It started, you know, but that's a whole other story. It was never a European religion, but that's what the enemy puts on our mind, because we're so used to just searching the details on things, we lose the message on things. We want to know the scientific principles of things, the historical facts, the archaeological principles, instead of the spiritual message that's come in that package. So that's another tactic to throw you off from getting to the message. It's so you argue and debating with people on the outside of things, you never get his message. So that's why I want people to be careful with overanalyzing the historical facts of things. We know mankind and man tampered with things. We know this. We know the man tampered with the scriptures. I don't know how many times. That's why there's so many different versions. But when you have discernment, you only can water down God's word so much. But once you have true discernment, you can see instantly his power is still in the scriptures, no matter who try to manipulate it. Man only can do so much to God's word. So, yeah, I just wanted to add that in there. Yeah.
So we're coming up to the moment now where you were shot.
Yeah.
Right? And then you had the experience, right? Lead us up to the moment where you got shot and then what happened after that.
Sure. It was 2009. By then, I had some money and, you know, every weekend we go to the clubs. We go to the clubs looking for girls. We're smoking some weed. We're drinking in their life, right? So for us, it's a tradition to go get new clothes. You go to the club, you got to have a new outfit. So me and my friend, we're going to go shopping during the day. We go shopping, but I kept seeing this one guy, okay? First, we went to the clothing store. I come out, he's sitting on his car. And there's something in my spirit says, something is not right about this guy. But I looked at him, he said, what's up? And he said, okay, what's up? We go to another store. I come out. He's outside the second store, way on the other side of our district. Just like it's no way you can keep running to the same person. So I thought it was, wait a minute. Now my spirit really was tugging on me. Like something is up with this guy. So again, I looked and he said, he's sitting on his car outside of the store. So I tapped my friend and said, hey man, this man is following us. This guy. And my friend laughed. He was like, dude, you're not that important. Nobody following you, man. Quit it. Nobody, you're nobody to be thinking about. Stop it. You're paranoid. Okay, I brushed it off. So later on, I come out 2 or 3 hours later, we're dressed, I'm ready to go out. I come outside the building. Guess who's standing there? The same guy. So this time I said, okay, I'm about to question this guy and ask him, do I know him from somewhere? Where is he from? You know what I mean? Because enough is enough at this point. My spirit is telling me I need to find out what's going on. As I'm walking and approaching the guy, he had a cigar in his mouth. And he said, do you have a lighter on you? I said, yeah. And so as I'm reaching in my pocket, I saw a green flash. It's the first thing I really remember. It was a green flash. Okay. Now it just seems like, I don't know if it, you know, things go in slow motion. You know, when your body experiences traumatic experiences, you know, you either black out or time slows down for you. Okay. And I'm noticing how God put that in as a safety mechanism for your body, for us. So we won't be over traumatized by the experience. But as I look up, I smell like, I don't know if you know what matches, like if you would burn a whole book of matches, like the sulfuric smell.
Yeah.
That's what I smell. But as I look up to him and he hit me again, wow, again. So now I'm looking at him, but he has this look on his face and it was demonic, but it was like a, I got you look, like a, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? The second time I fall back. As soon as I'm falling back, I feel myself falling forward.
Okay.
It's hard to explain. I'm falling back, but yet I can feel myself falling forward and instantly. It was instantaneous. It was just like that. I was in darkness. But like I described before, this darkness is not a darkness like here on earth. It's not like you can blindfold yourself, like you can put yourself underneath the earth, super blindfold yourself and dig deeper. And it's still, this darkness is alive. You understand? It had a spiritual component to it, to where I felt that it was all over me, like it was holding me. But as I'm falling down, I mean, I can't even calculate the speed. But as I'm falling, the more I'm falling, the more I'm feeling things getting stripped away from me, meaning such as like hope, you know, love, all the stuff that we take for granted here that we don't realize that come from God, they're stripped from you as you're falling to this place, okay? I want people to be aware. Don't take anything for granted. Because as I was falling, it's beyond, like I was saying at first, the terror, it's not fear, it's terror, and it's alive. It is really, it's a spirit. It's alive in that place. In the darkness, it's alive. It was alive. It was like the darkness had a consciousness of its own, and it was stripping me of everything good. So as I'm falling, I mean, it's so fast, and I can't even think clear, but I'm falling because people don't understand. Just say, for example, if you're here conscious, like we're talking right now, we're communicating, and then all of a sudden you're taken to another, just a whole other place instantly. It's instantaneous. There's no slow build up to it. There's no nothing there. It's boom, okay? And I'm falling, and I'm feeling this fear, but the speed of the fallingness, I can't even explain it in words, no matter what language, no matter what. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual component to everything. Now that in hindsight, and the more that I'm mature in my spirit, I'm realizing that it is all spiritual. The spiritual life, I was in my spiritual body, okay? I'm falling. Now, the first thing that hit me was this smell. The smell. But see, people don't understand. I'm going to explain it again. When you pass away, you don't lose your five senses. You know, sight, hear, touch, taste. No. They heightened. They get more potent. So they raise times a million. So you become more sensitive. They don't go anywhere. They get stronger. Mm-hmm. So like if you were to smell this smell right now, the smell that I was smelling, there's no way your body would be able to take it here on this earth. Mm-hmm. There's no sewer, no dead bodies, no dead animals, rotting flesh. There's nothing that can compare to this smell. Okay? It is so bad. It is just, but as I'm falling, I'm just like, it's just overwhelming, the smell. And then all of a sudden I see a little light. It's a little light, because this darkness is so dark. You can see the light on like a top of a pinhead. It's bright compared to this darkness. So to see that little light, I'm thinking, but as I'm going, I'm falling, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Then all of a sudden I felt heat. I can feel heat coming from this light. But I wasn't even now that I'm looking at it, I wasn't even paying attention to the heat because I was so scared. I'm smelling this smell, but I'm starting to see it looked like a big portal. But this portal looked like it was rocks, okay? And so I'm going to explain to people. Hell is here on earth, but it's in a different dimension, okay? Just like when I start learning scientific principles on different dimensions, it makes complete sense. Just like I'm sitting here right now, but there's different frequencies going through me that I can't even see, like microwaves, radio waves, all types of things, but they're vibrating on a different frequency. So you can have two places in one space because of different dimensions. So hell is on earth, but it's in a different dimension. All right? Yes. So now as I'm falling and I'm seeing this portal and it's open, as it opens, now I'm pretty much right then I can see every detail. Now, remember, your senses are heightened. You can see a molecule if you wanted to, if you focus and zoom in on it. I mean, that's how pinpoint accurate your senses are in a spiritual body. Now, I'm looking, and it's rocks, like stones, ancient rocks, caverns. But I fall through, and I hit the bottom. Now, when I hit the bottom.
So the opening is like rocks.
Yes.
Like a circular.
It's like you're entering the cave system.
Okay.
It's like I was falling into an ancient cave system. That's the best way I can describe it. But the rocks were glowing. Everything on the rocks was so hot. They were like yellow, orange, white. They were hot. They were so heated. That's the little light that I was seeing. When I got there, I knew exactly that was that opening. So when I hit the bottom, I mean, I slammed so hard. But I didn't even feel that pain like that. Because when I tried to move, I was so more worried. I was like... I was just panicking so bad. I tried to move and I couldn't move the way we move here. It felt like I was wearing a big heavy suit, like I was weighed like 900 pounds. So just like I'm moving my arms now and I can do this and that. No. First of all, you feel like instantly I felt I had no energy. I had no energy. And what that was, now that I realize, is that we're so used to being in our physical body. We're so used to things of our physical nature. Like, I couldn't breathe. When I was trying to breathe, it was like the look. Like, I couldn't even breathe. It's because I wasn't breathing in the first place. There's no oxygen in that place. But we're so used to being here, just like we're breathing now, we're unconsciously breathing. So I thought I was trying to breathe. So that makes my anxiety there even worse, because you're so used to being in this flesh. You think you have fleshly movement. It doesn't work that way. You're stripped of everything. Remember, you're stripped of everything God gave you. So even having movement, even that comes from God. See, we don't realize that. Even breathing and just feeling, that comes from God. But that was stripped. You get stripped of all of that by the time you make it there.
Were you thinking about outside at all? Or you weren't even thinking about the earth?
No.
You were just focused on this place.
Yeah. You're so petrified. You're so scared. You're not thinking about anything here. You're not thinking about a person. You're not thinking at that moment. You're not thinking about anything. I was so shocked. And going through, and the fear and the anxiety and just everything, you're not thinking, that's the last thing you're thinking about. You're not thinking about any of those things.
So when you realize where you were, what happened next?
I'm trying to get up. And it was so dark. See, it was just as dark. But all of a sudden, the only thing that illuminated that place, the first thing I saw before me were these pits. And they were like, flames were coming up. And then you can see when these flames come up, that's how you can see. But when the first pit lit up, I saw it had to be thousands, as far as your eye can see, of these pits. And they were connected in rows, but they would go so far, it had to be miles and miles and miles of these pits. But inside these pits, there were people, okay? But what really caught my attention, before I describe the people in the pits, were these beasts around all the pits. They were like giants. Some of them were like, and they all had a reptilian kind of theme to them. They all looked like reptile, nasty, deformed. Some of them had long arms, short arm, with a long arm, bodies. But the ones, the giants that I saw, some of them had to be like 13 to 18 feet tall. I mean, huge. I'm talking about ripped up muscles, huge. I mean, they
like
were
humanoid. Were they humanoid?
Humanoid,
like,
yes. They had legs. They had arms. They had, you know, chest muscles. They were very humanoid, but not even close to human. Not even. They were so ugly, and they the smell that I was smelling, they stink. Okay. It was them. Like, they stink. They horrible smell to them. Horrible smell. And a lot of them smell like sulfur, too. Like, that's why a lot of people who I've talked to who had experiences with demons, they always smell like a sulfuric smell. They stink. They smell bad. They smell, they're horrible. But then I also saw demons as tall as this pen. They're small. You got some, they all sizes, all shapes, all sizes. But they had, some of them had red eyes. Some of them had yellow eyes with the slits in them. You know, and some of their skins were scaly. Like I said, they had that reptile, like the reptilian type look. But some of them didn't have the reptile look. Some of them were just so deformed and ugly, hairy. It just didn't make sense. Some of them were just so disproportionate. It didn't make any sense.
Did they notice you when you fell?
No, not right away. Not right away. One of them did, and that's how I look back, because I never saw the Lord. I never saw the Lord. But now that I look back, he had to be with me to be protecting me, because the hatred that they have for us, it is beyond description. It is beyond words. They hate. There is no form of hate here on this planet that can even get close to how they feel about us. They hate you so bad. You can feel it. The energy will kill you. If their hatred was in the form of a weapon, here on earth, you would die. You would die. They hate. When I say hate, hate is an understatement. Hate would feel like love compared to the hatred that they have for us, literally. Yeah, but as I looked at the pits and the people, some of them were like charred skeletons, charred, burned up skeletons. Some of them had flesh hanging off of them, okay? And the thing is, they were trying to crawl out. And now, I mean, because once you get there, you know that you know. You know. You know pretty much everything. You can see a person in hell and know why they're there. There's no time there. There's no time that you have to take to learn, because everything is connected. So you know that you know. And they were there to guard the people from coming out the pit. They had these spears and these ancient things, and people were trying to crawl out. They were sticking them, grabbing them, especially the big giant grabbing them and throwing them right back into the pits and the lava. I mean, and then What got me, though, like I was saying before, I forgot to mention, was the screams and the yells, okay? It moves your spirit. The sense of the way these people were screaming and in agony and the regret and the pain, it is beyond comprehension. Even right now as we speak, that place is going on right now. And that's what reminds me every day. It's happening right now as we speak. People are there right now, and it's so many people. It's so many people. But as I'm trying to get up and I look, and I'm looking at these pits, and I'm just, now I thought I was already scared and full of anxiety. Now it's just beyond. It keeps growing. There's no limit to fear in the spiritual realm. Just when you think, okay, I'm maxed out of my anxiety. I'm maxed out of my, no. It keeps growing and it doesn't stop. There's no limit to how fearful you become. You know, I'm trying to get up. Then all of a sudden I felt something grab my head and I can see the claw. This thing had to be huge and it threw me. And when it threw me, I mean, the strength of this thing, it was like me picking up this pen and throwing this pen. It was like it was nothing. So I don't care what people say. Oh, I will go in down there and I'll fight. No, I'm sorry. No, it's not happening. I don't care if you're the strongest man on earth. You have nothing.
It's like you had no control, right? You have no control.
You have no control. You have no strength. It's like you didn't eat in months. You don't have no nutrients, no kind of muscle. None of that. That's out the window. That comes from God. And everything, that's not there. So you can try your best if you want to, and there's nothing going to happen. So as I got flung, I got hit this wall. But now, as I noticed, Lord had to be with me because I didn't feel, because of the force that I was thrown, I would have felt, I knew I was going to feel the pain. Because one thing I'm going to explain to everyone, like I explained before, my testimony is that here on the body, we have a nervous system, right? So if I was to touch you and just pinch your hand, you would feel it only on your hand. In the spirit world, there's no such thing. If you get hit in the hand, you feel it through your whole body simultaneously at the same time.
Mm.
You won't feel it just in an isolated place where you got pinched. You will feel it all at one time from your head.
So pain also is more intense as well.
By a million. By a million. And that's an understatement. It is, see, because the spiritual world is way, people don't understand. Everything here physical is the leftovers from the spiritual world. That's why the Lord said your thoughts are more realer. That's why you get judged by your thoughts. Because that's what the real is. It's not, your action is just a reflex of your thoughts. So now I know what the Lord means by that, because the spiritual is way more realer than this. Everything here physical is leftovers from the spiritual world. That's why I say the pain is more real. Your senses are more heightened. Everything is more intense, way more intense. Okay. Now, that's why I say when I got flung and I knew the Lord was there with me is because I didn't feel, I expected so much more pain, but it wasn't. It wasn't. I felt pain, but it wasn't what I knew in my mind where I was calculating that it should be. But as I look up, I'm on the side and it's like a stone mountain. But in the mountain were jail cells, rows and rows of these cells as far as your eye can see up. Like, and I grew up in skyscrapers my whole life, and I know what it is to live in the sky, literally. But these things were so high, like they were built into the side of a mountain, and there were rows and rows of cells, like the old cells, not like the modern-day jails with the door with the slit. No, the bars, and they looked ancient, rusty. But instantly I knew. All of a sudden, I start looking, and you can see people, activities, and all of these different cells. And then it would be like 3 feet apart. It'd be stones, another cell. Stones, another cell. Stone, 3 feet apart, like this estimating. All the way up. The same way I saw the pit all the way going across, these were all the way up as far as my eyes can see, literally. Like, I couldn't even see it no more, but you can still see cells. And instantly I knew these were ancient. I knew that the people were in there were there for thousands of years. Thousands of years. I mean, I'm talking about biblical times. They've been in there since. You know, people can't even imagine because time, see, like we're so used to time here. You can't imagine no time. There is no time there. Time stops. There is no time in the spirit world. It doesn't exist. Time is only used in the physical manifestation for us to organize things and keep schedules. It doesn't exist. All hope is gone when you're there. There is no, at least, like, for example, I was explaining. Back when I used to live my back life, because I did go to jail a couple of times. I was in jail, okay? I had hope because I had an out date, right? So you say, okay, I'm getting released in 8 months. That gives you some hope that I'm getting out of here in 8 months. But when you're in hell, there is no out date. There is no time. There is nothing to, no schedule. There is none that's gone. You know you're there. And the worst part is, I knew I deserved to be there. That was the thing that really got me. I had no rebuttals for me not being there. Okay?
So you weren't crying for mercy. You weren't calling out to God. Nothing like that? No?
No. No. And that's another thing. See, the people don't understand. The things that I were hearing, you had a lot of people calling out to God. You had a lot of people asking for 5 more minutes, 1 more chance. Please, I'm sorry. Let me make it up so you can hear everything. That's another thing I want to add. Remember I was talking about the 5 senses being heightened? You can hear everybody screaming at one time, but you can individualize every person. You can individualize every scream. You can individualize. But then I heard a lot of blasphemous things towards God. I heard a lot of anger, a lot of cursing God out. I heard a lot of, like, yeah, big time. People were angry.
Only people were making sounds. The demons weren't making any sounds or whatever those creatures were.
Demons, yeah. Oh, that was, I was going to get to that. When the demons were communicating with each other, they have their own language. And their whole language hurt my body every time they talked. Every time they talk.
So you never understood what they were saying?
Oh, yeah. You understand everything. I'm going to use the term. You overstand everything that they're saying. What they was communicating back and forth, they were calling us stupid humans. When they were grabbing and torturing humans and doing all types of things, they were calling us stupid and they were laughing. They love, they laugh, they enjoy. Because what I found out and what I saw myself through my experience is that they get energy off our pain. They eat it. It's a form of food to them. It's like a drug to them. They get high off of it. That's why they're here on earth. They keep us depressed, angry, full of anxiety, because they're feeding off that. That's their food. They literally eat that. So they cause situations for you to feel that way so they can eat. They eat off that. And in hell, they have an abundance, nonstop supply of food because all they do is torture. They say if your arm gets ripped off, your arm will grow right back. Rejuvenate. And it happens over and over and over again. Like I say, I saw tons of people there where they were ripping over their mouth and pouring hot lava down their throats. They'll melt and they'll come right back and they'll do it all over again. And then they invite other demons to come and get their turn. Like I was also mentioning about promiscuous women who were there and men. But I saw my experience, I saw majority of what I saw were the women being raped by demons. This one lady was being raped and tortured so bad sexually that I'm not going to say it on here, but it's beyond horrible. But I'm talking about, it's and then some of the tortures are so bad. I still, to this day, I can smell a certain smell, especially matches. I don't like the smell of matches at all because it brings me back to that. It reminds me of that. Yeah, it does. Like PTSD, big time. I don't like that. But
your wife said, you said something about, I think it was in the last one I listened to, actually. You said you saw pastors and people like that there. Could you explain?
Yes. You know what? And I saw, and a lot of them were still dressed in suits. Okay, there was like a cavern, like a cave, and a lot of them were just sitting there like they were waiting. Well, the demons would come in, especially the giant ones, and snatch them up and throw them in boxes. They were throwing these pastors in boxes. They had all types of stuff for them. They had all types of, like, they had a field day with the pastors, the fake pastors. I'm going to be honest. A lot of them were just misusing their authority that God gave them, okay? For one example, they threw this one pastor in a box. And it was an old, nasty box. But the box was filled with hot coals in it. So when they throw them in it and they close it, you can hear them. I mean, the screams are beyond. Like, you can feel it. You can feel it's just the anguish and the pain. And they were throwing these things in them. They were stabbing this. They were ripping people apart. They were eating people, especially the pastors. They had a real, real good time with them. They were enjoying, like, really. A lot of people who I saw were a part of the church. Like I said, you can look at somebody in hell and know why they're there. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, if somebody was to look at me, they'll know why I was there.
The people that were in church, what were some of the sins that they did? Like,
I saw more gossipers in hell than anything from the church.
Wow.
Gossip, backstabbing, lust in the church, right? But the most of all was the gossiping, because people don't understand the power of gossip. They don't understand how powerful it is, how you can hurt somebody's life for just, you know what I mean? It was so many people down there for gossiping, you know. They smile in your face, but then, oh, look at Sister Clark, or look at Brother so-and-so, but then you're in church praying with them instead of praying for them. See, when you talk about somebody's problem, you better have a solution. If not, it's gossip. Plain and simple. If you're going to talk about someone's problem, you better be willing to help that person. If not, don't talk about it and stay out of their business, because that's serious. God doesn't play with gossip. And I saw that firsthand. God does not play when it comes to gossip.
And the pastors that were there, were they like fake pastors in the sense of, yeah, like, what were they doing exactly? Like, did they do?
They were popcorn Christians. What I mean by popcorn Christianity is a term that me and my friends came up with, is because they're okay, like a popcorn kernel is hard, right? A kernel of popcorn. But when you apply heat to it, it puffs up and it turns soft. That's what they were. They were acting like they were really hardened for the Lord, that they were really solid, but then the heat and the pressures of the world turned them soft and they became worldly.
Okay.
And they're fake. They use the words. Yes. Mm. And then a lot of them are, like I always say, intellectual parrots, meaning they know the scriptures inside and out. They sound good. They sound intellectual, but they don't live them. They don't live them. They fool the people. That's why I tell the people, it's not up to the pastor or your deacon or your bishop to establish your personal relationship with the Lord. That's up to you, because a relationship with the Lord is ultra personal. It's not their responsibility. And you can be, even the Lord says, don't follow a man because you never know who you are following. So why they think, oh yeah, brother told me to do this or sisters told me to do this. And yeah, they're a man or woman of God. They lead you right to hell.
Wow.
Because you don't have
I heard you said unforgiveness too. You said unforgiveness too, right?
I was going to mention that next. The top two. The top one is gossip. The next one is unforgiveness. You know how many people say, I forgive, but I won't forget? That's not forgiveness. See, when God forgives us, it's deleted from the universe. It's gone. He doesn't remember. Clearly doesn't remember. You can try to say, hey, Lord, remember I did this? He's going to say, what are you talking about? Because it's been deleted from his heart. We don't do that. We say we forgive you and still have in the back of our mind reservations and judge that person and still kind of say, I'm just going to, you know, and I saw so many people there for that. See, people don't understand. Yeah, we unqualify and disqualify ourselves from going to paradise. Paradise in heaven cannot have 1 ounce of filth in it. If so, you will corrupt it. So that's why we need the Lord as a mediator to make sure he washes us from that. Because we're all imperfect. We're going to fall. We're going to have flaws. But our relationship with him and his grace, he washes us clean from that so we can enter paradise. Because you cannot have one blemish on you. It's like if you have a fresh basket of apples and you put one in with a little mold on it, what's going to happen to the rest of those apples?
Your whole bunch is going to be spoiled.
Exactly. So therefore, we disqualify ourselves from getting into heaven because we're so blemished. And then we think we can do it on our own. We can't do it without him. There's no way we can cleanse ourselves the way we need to be cleansed to be on that frequency of heaven. So we disqualify ourselves all the time.
Some people would say, well, you know what? Once they're covered, they're covered. And, you know, like the pastor, for instance, he's okay. Even if he mess up, you know, like he's covered past, present, future sin. And the other gossipers or people, unforgiveness is
right.
Fine because you're covered.
Sure.
And that's something that people say. Like I saw another testimony of a pastor in Africa, very, very gripping health testimony. Mm-hmm. He said it was unforgiveness that caused him to go to hell.
See? And that's what I'm saying. And those who say that, they obviously don't read the scriptures. Because clearly, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, says, if you commit a sin, and you know thereof that it's a sin, there is no sacrifice that can save you. See? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. So all that once saved, always saved, that comes from the pits of hell itself. It's a lie. If that's the case, I might as well go back to the life I used to live. I got saved, so I might as well just go, let's go kick it, man. You know, hey, let's go have fun. Let's go do what we need to do then.
Those are fighting words, right? Because in hell testimonies, you always have people in the comment section that talk about that, right? Mm-hmm. They always talk about it. Even when I shared my outer darkness experience. So when you spoke about the little pin, the light, I saw that. My thing was just this pitch black place that looked like a cave, right? I found myself in this place. Mm-hmm. And when I realized, just like you said, the hopelessness, there was a palpable sense of, as you said, you cannot get out. You know that you're stuck there forever.
Yes.
And this hopelessness was beyond anything I can describe. And when I realized where I was, I cried out for Jesus, and then I saw a little light, like a little pinprick of light, mm-hmm. way out in the distance, and I bolted to it. And when I jumped through the light, that's when I leaped out of like my bed, and that was a very traumatic experience for me. Like, so I understand.
Yes,
some of the things I never experienced what you experienced, but I got a little glimpse of the outer darkness, and that was enough for me to understand that it's not something to be messed with. And yes. I was a Christian,
right?
I was a believer at the time, but I was lukewarm.
Yeah,
I was a lukewarm believer at the time. But continuing from, you saw the bars, and you saw people inside the bars, and the ancient, like some people from like way back when.
Yeah, from ancient Persia all over. You can clearly see, you can clearly tell, like these things and these people were just there for thousands and thousands of years. Even the garbs they were wearing, some of them were skeletons, some of them, like I said, were just like ancient. But the color of their flesh was like a smoky gray darkness. It wasn't, you can't tell what race they were only by their features, but they were from all over, but they were very, very ancient. And I knew they were there for astrology, witchcraft. This is like the whole, all of them were there for worshiping other gods, worshiping Baal, worshiping demons. Like all of this was like a dedicated section to ancient, those ancient ones who were worshiping other false gods and then led other people to worship false gods. See, it's one thing that when you sin alone, cool, that's bad enough. But when you bring others to sin with you, when you become contagious and you're sinning, it's way worse. You have way worse judgment that falls upon your head. So that's what I say. Hey, if people make your own choice, but don't bring nobody with you. Don't make nobody fall with you because you're going to be held accountable, not only for yours, but for theirs as well.
So what was some of the regret, like some of the things that they were saying, like, you know, like that they were sorry about? Stuff like that. Regret.
This is it, because I had the regret. I had the review. I call it the great review, because it comes a moment when you're in there where he shows you every detail, every conversation that you heard someone that you didn't even see, and how that causes a ripple effect in their life. Every bad thing I did, from even stealing the candy bar when I was 7 years old, to every detail that you ever did. Now, I don't know if people remember in the Bible, it says your own flesh will testify against you. See? So my own flesh was testifying against me to me. And that's when I had the feeling that I have no right to get out of here. That's when I had the feeling that, you know what, I deserve this. That was when I came with a feeling, overwhelming feeling, where it hit me that, dang, I deserve to be here. There's no way I'm getting out of here, because you have so many people screaming, please, let me make it up to her, or let me make it up to him. Give me one more chance to go say, you know, like it was just so many things of regret that they wish they can do one more time to make things up to people. The things that they said to people, the things they physically did to people, the things that they stole from people, the thoughts that they were thinking about people, the gossip that they did someone and made someone lose their job or lose their reputation because of gossip. Even false gossip is even worse. When you just make up things about somebody because you're jealous of them. There's a lot of people, the spirit of jealousy. See, hell is very organized, and people don't realize this. Hell is so organized. It has a spirit for everything. A spirit for everything that you think is just you. No, a lot of the times, okay, I'm going to say this loud and clear. Everyone is accountable, okay? Your flesh, you're accountable for your own actions. So I'm not going to blame everything on demons. I'm not going to blame everything on the devil, because we do have accountability and responsibility for ourselves. But what I am saying is they don't have the power to make you do anything. But they're great manipulators and they're great influencers. So your flesh by default will go with the choice of the demons by default, because your flesh is so weak. So they know how to manipulate your flesh to make these decisions. You see them? You see what I mean? So people need to realize that. But then, back to answering your question, the most thing, like I said, that I was hearing them say is they just want one more chance to get it right. They want one more opportunity to make things right, you know? And it was just like some of them are asking for 30 seconds to be on the earth. I don't know what somebody can accomplish in 30 seconds, but, I mean, they're asking for time. They're just asking, can I just go tell this person, I'm sorry what I did to my mother. I'm sorry what I did to, like, you know what I mean? You know, it's just, yeah, it's just so many voices on so many different levels. And all we have to do is apply our own experience to answer that question. But I don't want to wait again till I pass away again to make anything right with someone. We need to do it right now while you're here on this earth.
Amen. What happened after the bars, right? Because I remember you said you were on a cliff after or something like that.
I'm just going to wrap it. Yeah, because this is towards the end. It was a lot more in between that. But we can, maybe another time, God willing, I can come on a platform and explain. But I was on a cliff, okay, and it was people on the right side, people on the left side. But when I looked, it was a desolate forest. And it was a path in the forest. But these trees, it wasn't a regular forest. These trees were dead. These trees, it was just like a dead forest. And it was black sands, black and gray sands, okay? But when I looked further up, that's when I felt this place. That whole time, I was in hell, but I call it pre-hell. But when I saw that place with these gates, I mean, it had to be 80 feet tall, 50 to 80 feet tall gates, old rock, stone castles. I knew that was hell. I knew for a fact, if I passed those gates, I'm not coming back. And so as I'm standing on the cliff, and that's why I want to tell people, when you're in hell, there's no fellowship. That's why this part, I want to make it clear that the Lord obviously gave us the opportunity, because there was a long line of people in these chains, okay? And they were coming, and they were walking on this path, but each on the side of them, like guards, almost like prison guards. But they were demons, just some of them big, some of them walking, so these people wouldn't try to run off the path. And they were marching in towards the gates, towards their gates. But one person noticed and looked up. Now I'm thinking that the person noticed the Lord behind us. But then gave them an opportunity to start screaming towards us, don't come here. Don't. They were screaming in all different languages, and I'm looking at the people on this side, looking at the people on this side, the cliff, and they were screaming, don't. They were, like, giving us utter warnings. Like, don't, please. They were begging to not come. And you can feel the sincerity and the fear and the terror. Like, it is beyond. Just by looking at that place and hearing them, I knew. I said, my next step is I'm about to be down there in that chain gang, heading on that path. But all of a sudden, it was just like the same force of a swish, because around when I went to different compartments in hell, it was like I was teleporting. It was boom, boom. He was taking me. So now I know that was the Lord showing me. But all of a sudden, I felt that same back. But when I came, I got slammed into my body. And I was in the hospital. Okay.
How long did it feel like it was? You said it's timeless, right? But how long did it feel? Did it feel like you were there for a long time?
I feel like I was there for months.
Wow.
It felt like I was there for months.
Like earth months, like our months. It felt
our months here on earth. It felt like I was there for months. And I was only there for like 3 minutes and 47 seconds.
Wow. So your wife said you were pronounced clinically dead.
Minutes and 47 seconds.
What was the most memorable thing maybe that happened during that time in hell when you were being, you know, shown different things that you want to share?
What sticks out to me, all of it to me was equally, but what sticks out in my mind was, I call it the human shish kebab, where the giants were taking these big rusty poles and they were taking humans and they were taking them from underneath and they were putting them on these poles like four or five at a time. And then they were carrying them around. Like, they put these spears through them. These spears are huge. And they would take the body, and they would poke you through, and they would stuff you, and they would stuff another one on top of you, and they would stuff another one while you're screaming and moving, and then they would pick you up, and I don't even know where they were carrying them. But to me, I still even get visual. I still visualize it. I can still feel it. I can still smell the atmosphere. But to me, you know, besides the females getting raped, the men's getting their genitals cut off, the sexual torture, and I call it the human shish kebab torture. To me, it really, 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 those are the two that really stick out to me, really much so.
So in terms of senses, right? So I want to give people like a sense of maybe like what is it like a daze feeling, like you're in like a dreamlike state, or is it like very vivid, or
mm-mm.
do you feel like, or you feel now like how what's it like a dream state?
Have
or?
You ever had a dream? See, there's a difference between dreams and messages. Have you ever had a dream where when you first wake up, you're glad to be here, and you look and say, whew, I'm glad that was just a dream. So imagine that type of feeling magnetized times 1,000. It's more realer than me experiencing talking to you right now.
Wow.
It's even hard. Like I say, there's certain emotions that I feel and we feel as human beings on a daily basis that you can't even put into words, right? The descriptive part, I'm just getting close to it as I can, because there's some things that I can't even fathom to put in a human language, any language. There's no words, because everything there is so impactful and so powerful. It's energy. I can't even calculate how people, yeah.
And some people say it's fake, right? And that's the thing. When I read those comments, I feel, I'm just like, man, like,
yeah.
What do you have to say to people who don't believe? Like people okay. who hear stuff like this and they're like, oh, it's fake.
But guess
what do you say to them?
The demons love that. The demons are clapping because the fact is they don't want you to believe so you can get there. See, hell does not need your belief. Hell doesn't need you. Actually, it don't want you to believe, because how can you fight an enemy that you don't believe exists? That means you already lost. So they want you. So listen, my job is just to deliver a message. I don't debate my experience. I don't have to debate it, because one thing we all have in common as human beings, we're all going to die. I'm just telling you. The Lord told me I don't have to debate anything. My job is just to tell you my experience, my testimony. You people can do what they want to do with it. But I'm just telling you, like, for example, if you were from, you're in Japan right now. If you come
yeah.
to the United States and say, you know, the jails in the United States are not real. Well, go break the law. Watch what's going to happen. The jail that's waiting for you don't need you to believe in it.
Mm.
It's sitting there waiting for you. It's a cell with your name on it, your little cot with your name on it. It don't need you to believe in it. So people who I want to say that, they don't want you to believe. So I ask you, I don't, you know, like I tell people all the time, there's 1.8 and some more million gods that are worshipped on this earth, okay? Why is it that our Lord and our Father God, especially Jesus Christ, is the only one picked on? Why is he the only one mocked? Why is he the only one out of 1.8 million known gods that are worshipped? Why is he the only one made into a curse word? Why is he the only one so disrespected? Because he's the truth. That's why. Plain and simple. I don't argue no more with people. I don't have to. They take his salvation. They take his messages. But, oh, trust me, everybody's going to be held accountable. I'm not here to scare anyone, but one thing that, especially in the Proverbs says, fear is the beginning of wisdom, right? The fear of God.
Fear of God, yeah.
The
yeah.
fear of God is the beginning. So if it scares you enough to at least research yourself, what do you have to lose by praying and say, hey, show me. Show me, Lord. If you're really real, show me that you're real. What do you have to lose? But for all the naysayers, hey, that's your, hey, I don't violate your free will just like our Lord. I'm not here to force you to believe. I'm not here to debate with you. I'm just telling you. I'm just passing on the message. Like the UPS man, what does he do? He delivers your package and he leaves. Whatever you do with the package is up to you. That's it.
So I know we're kind of wrapping up, but I want you to talk about when you came back. You came back into your body. I want mm-hmm. you to talk about that, and then how you actually met Jesus and, you know, became a pastor, etc. I want that mm-hmm. part of the story as well.
Yeah, well, when I came back into my body, like I said, it felt disgusting. I felt horrible. I felt like I was wearing it. It felt like if you put on like 3 outfits that were dipped in cold water, that's the best way I can describe it. It felt like I was literally wearing my body. I was wearing it like I'm wearing an outfit, and I felt nasty. And it took a while for me to get rid of that, for a couple of weeks for me to get rid of that nasty feeling, because I was, yeah, it's weird. But
so you were in the hospital when you woke up in the hospital, or
mm-hmm. yeah, I was in the hospital, and the nurses were freaking out. Everybody was freaking out because they pretty much just gave up. They were wrapping it up. I can tell the machines were outside. They were just pretty much wrapping everything up, like, because I was done. It was.
So where were you shot? Where were you shot?
In my stomach, twice.
Okay.
Twice. In my abdomen.
Okay.
That's why I'm still experiencing medical conditions right now. I still have fragments of bullets in me. I may have to have an upcoming. So those who are believers, you can pray. My surgery goes well. I really appreciate that because I have to have some bullet fragments removed from my intestines, from my small intestines still, because they're starting to rust and iodize in my stomach. So, yeah.
And your wife said that they said you wouldn't walk, but you started walking miraculously.
I still, even to this day, I still have complications of walking, but they told me I wouldn't walk again correctly. I wouldn't walk at all. Now I'm walking right now. You know, I still walk with a limp. It still hurts when the weather changes. A lot of people know what that means. Like when it rains, when it snows, it's a lot of tremendous pain because I have permanent nerve damage. But that's better than being paralyzed. So thank the Lord. He gave me the ability. I'm walking again. So, yeah. But they told me I would never walk again. So
we're going to pray indeed, right? So so you got up on the bed. You were probably screaming, telling them. She said that you said, like, you were screaming then.
I was screaming. Like, I didn't. First of all, the same way, just as fast as I left, was just as fast as I came back. Two different dimensions, like, boom, boom. After that, swoosh, and it was pink, pink, and I was so beyond confused is an understatement, okay? But looking at the nurse's face made me more scared because she was looking at me with, and she ran out the room. So I'm like, hey, what's going on? You know what I mean? Like, and I was scared, and I didn't want to go back, so I'm screaming, don't let me go back. Please, don't, somebody, no, help. What's going on? Like, don't let me go back because I can even still hear in my heart, in my mind, I can still smell hell. I can still, you know, so me being there, I just thought any second now I was going to be taken back there.
Okay.
You see what I mean? It's the most scariest feeling ever, you know.
Did he share it with anyone? Did he share the story when you got up afterwards, or you kept it to yourself for many years?
I kept it to myself for a minute. You know, honestly, I truly did, because first of all, it took a while for me to even grasp. That's how serious it is. That's how powerful it is. It took so long for me to even digest it. And it had the opposite effect at first. It gave me post-traumatic stress syndrome, with a disorder, I mean, to the point where I start drinking more when I came back because of that hell experience. It had the reverse effect at first. It wasn't like the Lord, I came from hell and all of a sudden I was just with the Lord. No. It had the reverse effect at first. I was so traumatized by it, it led me to drinking more. Even after the experience I experienced, you would think I would have woken up and just said, hey, no more. No. It made me very scared of a lot of things, different noises. Like I say, even to this day, I can't stand the smell of those matches. I can't do it. I can't. It just really brings me right back, you know. And that's why it took me a long time to come out, because the Lord had to give me the energy and the strength to even rehash this story. Because just thinking about it, that's how horrible it is. I had to have, this is his strength for me to be able to explain this without me having anxiety problems. Because just remembering, I can see it. I can still smell the smells. I can still just, you know, so I know it's him helping me tell his story. But go ahead.
So how did you now move from that place to actually becoming a believer? And I think your wife, did you also have a degree as well, like a pastoral degree? So talk to us about when you decided to start a ministry and follow Jesus, like fully. Well,
a couple of years ago, I did get my pastoralship. It was about 3.5 years ago. National Christian Church University. But see, only reason why I did that is because I already started my street ministry a long time ago. It had no name. It had nothing. I was just out there trying to preach the word. Okay. And what I had to get my credentials for, which I thought was to be able, because I wanted to speak at other jails. I wanted to speak around, but they said, where's your credentials? I'm like, wait a minute. Why do I have to have credentials? I got credentials. I'm a believer. See, that's how I know this system is fake. You know, did Paul and them have credentials, right? Did the apostles and the disciples? No, they didn't. Their credentials was their experience. But now these days, let me see these documents. So I got it just to appease so I can go to different jails and go to different things. And roughly, we just started this full ministry, I would say roughly about, 5 to 6 months ago, am I correct? About 5-6 months ago. To start going, because before that I was still, we were out on the streets praying, passing out Bibles, but then the Lord put it on my heart, just like he put it on my heart, now it's time for you to give your testimony, it's time for you to organize this now so you can bring more sheep into the fold, so now you can do more things and get the word out there.
How long after you had the experience, you started street ministry and started to say, you know what, I'm going to take this seriously and start evangelizing, etc.?
It took about a good 14 years.
Wow. So 14 years before you started street ministry?
Mm-hmm.
So that whole time, were you grappling with your relationship with Jesus? You were trying to figure things out. What happened between that time?
He was building his relationship with me. I started to change instantly. I mean, I started to notice the change in my attitude, the people I was hanging with. So I started to see the instant changes. I definitely started to change. But people don't understand. The same way there are different levels of fear in hell, there's different levels of purity and maturity in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
See? And also, I learned from experience, you only rise as high as your faith. Okay? You only rise and you're only as powerful as your faith. Okay?
Yeah.
And you're only as powerful as how much you know him personally. So
True. He
developed. He took his time with me. So now it is concrete. It is concrete. It's a part of every fiber of my being. It's a part of my character now because I didn't rush the process. I accepted it. My foundation is solid now. I didn't want to rush it because of my experience. I was authentic. That's why I'm authentic. I'm bold. I'm courageous.
Yeah.
I have nothing to hide from anyone because I know him personally now. See, I told people before, people love the idea of God. They love the idea of our Lord. That's not loving him. Then compared to having a real relationship loving him. Everyone loves the idea of him, and they think they love him, but they don't. I'm just being honest. So it took those years to really develop a true, authentic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he tells you, peace, be still. Be still. Do it the right way. Don't just rush and be scared and frightened. No, ask him to come, and he will guide you on your time. Some may get it faster than 14 years after an experience, or some may get it without an experience. Every relationship is customized with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's unique as our fingerprint. Everybody has a unique fingerprint. Your relationship, he talks to me different than he may talk to you. Everyone's relationship is different, but the love doesn't change.
Amen. So I wanted to tell us about your ministry, the books, because I know you have two books, and there's one that's going to have this experience even in more detail.
Yes.
So tell us about your ministry and the books and where we can find you as well.
Sure, sure. Our parent ministry is called the Narrow Path Society, and we also have a ministry called Blessed to Be Chosen. You can reach us on blessedtobechosen.com. You can also email us at blessedtobechosen.com7@gmail.com, or you can email us at thenarrowpathsociety@gmail.com. Also, my first book is on Amazon. It's called The Toughest Enemy You Have in Life is You. My second book is in Barnes & Noble. It's called Passport to Eternity. And my third book is coming out in 2 months, God willing. It's called Spiritual Currency. And it would detail all the things that I can't talk about on here in much detail that I could possibly put into words of my hell experience and after. Also, we're doing a lot of great things, you guys. Go to the website, www.blessedtobechosen.com. We're doing a lot of great things. Right now, we're trying to make sure, because we're connected with the International Bible Givers, where we get out, praise the Lord for them. They supply us with our Bibles so we can get enough Bibles to go pass out, you know, out to the streets. We pass out Narcans for those that are addicted. We're always looking for volunteers. You can give us a call. We have a prayer line and also a resource call, or if you wanted to set up an appointment to talk with me, it's area code 763-447-8562. And also, we have a text to give number. It is 773. The text to give is text, T-E-X-T, the number 2, give, at 773-257-0061. And also, you can join us to join our group on Facebook. We have the Narrow Path Society on Facebook. Our members have been joining great. We have a great fellowship, great ministry. So you all, everyone is welcome. All questions are welcome. Now, the foolish thing is if you don't ask questions. There's nothing wrong with questions. We're here to help, God willing. And I love you all, even believers and non-believers alike. But I just hope people give God a chance. Just pray and ask. What do you have to lose? You know, so please contact us, please, because we're doing a lot of great things.
And you also have a YouTube channel as well, right? A new channel?
Yes, that is Dominic Morrow on YouTube. You can just go to YouTube. Hold on. Here, come in. I want you to meet somebody as well. This is my IT guy here, your brother in Christ.
Hey, what's up, bro?
I don't want to intrude or nothing like that, but it's Dominic Morrow, Inc. on YouTube. He's the first one that pops up. You know, we have the interviews, his music as well, and in the links in there as well. It also shows like the drop down, the email questions, anything like that. We'd be glad to hear from you.
Okay, I will play this again soon. I'll play it again, but we're running out of time, and I need to pray out today. And we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. So he gave out some information that we can get in touch with him if we need to. So if you want to get in touch with him and, you know, find out what's going on, feel free, feel free. God bless you. God bless you. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for all that has been said and done here today. We thank you for your spirit moving. We thank you for being on our side. We thank you, Lord, that you are for us. And today we're casting all our cares upon you. But Father, you careth for us. As we depart this morning, bless our going out. Bless our coming in, Father. Meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And Father, we ask all of this today in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another. In the name of Jesus, go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, April the 16th, 2024, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye, and we are going to our last song of the morning.
Well, here's a touch.